Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock! Listen, listen, this is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen!
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
You know what I'm saying? My homie J Cat and the homie Eric.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
All you had to do was listen to the Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look what that got you, homie. Fuck that. Black D. Holler.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.
And you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
And to Yakuza Kick Radio. Oh, snap.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird. Oh.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
J-Cat and fucking Eric Lawrence cannot fucking keep this from the public that they are fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction. And motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. It is Thursday, June 23rd, 2011. I am your host, J-Cat Morris, and with me as always is my co-host, Eric Williams. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, Jay, how you doing today? I'm just, you know, another fun, exciting show, and we got a lot to talk about today, don't we?
We have quite a bit to talk about. Before we get into anything else, I got to start out the show giving a rest in peace to Justin J.T. Roberts, who passed away earlier this week in a tragic car accident. You know, another wrestler lost far, far too soon, and I wanted to also promote that 1CW is doing a tribute show to Justin on September 24th. Check them out at facebook.com/1CW Wrestling. So, it's just, just a way to start out the show. Obviously, it's a rough way to start out the show, but it has to be said. You can't go without saying that. So, a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. Another big, kind of a rough thing to get through, but it is, we have a lot of news to talk about tonight. We are going to get into a lot of things, but the main focus we're going to kind of set our sights on tonight is remembering Trent Acid. We have just passed the year of his passing, the year anniversary of Trent's passing, and just terrible, terrible thing. One of the biggest losses in independent wrestling, in my opinion. And, you know, honestly, you know, this show is named in tribute of Trent, of course. And really,
you damn right it is. You damn right it is.
And really, you know, Trent did so many things for the business. I mean, but, you know, as a small token, as an afterthought, he honestly brought me and Eric together in order for me to have this show. Because Eric did an excellent tribute towards the end of his run doing the Golden Cravat. And they put together a phenomenal tribute. That's why I'm not putting this whole this show out as a tribute, because it's bound to fall short of what Eric was able to accomplish last year. I was glad to be a part of it. He brought in so many people.
We had over 30 guests on the show in a set of 3 hours, and then we went an extra hour after the 3 hours. It was three and a half hours, somewhere there.
Right. It was a phenomenal show. And, you know, and that got me and Eric talking, and next thing you know, I was able to have my own show. And
Real quick, if I could say a couple words real quick.
Absolutely.
The real reason I did the tribute show is he was supposed to appear on the show that day, and I was talking to him for a few weeks, and he was going to have, you know, a bunch, he wanted a bunch of the guys to call in and talk with him and, you know, just shoot the shit with him. And, he even said some fans, so that's how I contacted, you know, how I met Jay is, you know, I was trying to meet, you know, trying to get in contact with some fans that knew Trent and, you know, stumbled upon figuring Jay and, you know, just, you know, freaking, it's sad that freaking, you know, because I would talk to him for a few hours every time I talked to him, and it was sad, you know.
Yeah, of course. You know, and the rest is history. From there, we're going on almost a year. We actually started the show in July of last year, so it's not quite our anniversary yet, but, yeah, we owe it all to Trent. Like I said, you know, one of my favorite entertainers, a great guy to hang out with and talk to after the shows. Just tons of fun every time you're around him. So that was, you know, more or less, you know, what made me a fan and what made me even more, like, you know, kind of a friend through being a fan, because he knew me without asking any questions, remembered me, Nina, everything, you know, always just automatically. He'd say something to us before we said something to him. I mean, he was that type of guy. So he is dearly missed. And so, yeah. This weekend we have a lot of big, big shows coming up this weekend. The one of which I will be attending is Tournament of Death. We will be going into that card later on, and I'll, you know, give my opinions on all that, but I hope to see everybody out there. Tournament of Death, Townsend, Delaware. I believe it's 3 p.m. bell time. And you know what it is, man. It's going to be a crazy, crazy day. And, you know, we're missing a few that have been here, you know, last year, some to incarceration, some, you know, we've lost just the way we lost Trent. But, you know, pushes on, and we get quite a phenomenal show, and Tournament of Death will not disappoint. And we'll get into that card a little later. There's also Jakar this weekend, I believe Ring of Honor this weekend. So there's wrestling all over the country. If you guys are looking for something to do this weekend, you will definitely have something within your range. So,
and there's also, what else is there?
I'm not really sure.
I don't think there's TWG this weekend. I don't think so.
Right.
Jersey All Pro. Are they running this weekend?
No, they aren't. I'll just run through some small news real quick. China, who keeps herself in the news these days, she got herself some enormous tattoos, and you guys could go check them out on, I believe they're on TMZ, like most of her life at this point. But, yeah, I mean, it's pretty interesting. She's got some pretty big tattoos. I think some form of tribal or Samoan or some kind of tattoos. They're nice and everything, but you know, it is what it is. You know, there's always something going on with her. Scott Hall is headed off to jail for I believe something that happened last year. He was sentenced to jail, and he'll be headed to jail on July 5th. I don't know, you know, if that's just to get in one more barbecue on the 4th beforehand, or
funny guy,
what they're
right
looking
there.
To do there. But
funny guy.
A freaking barbecue. Are you freaking serious?
Hey,
did you just go
there? Scotty likes the party. What can I do?
We're supposed to be telling him not to drink and do his crazy shit, and here you're telling him the fucking barbecue.
I don't got to tell him nothing. Believe me, he's going to do what he's going to do.
He's already going to do it anyway.
Absolutely. and another, tragic turn of events. Matt Hardy was suspended from TNA for being late. You know?
Good fucking riddance to that fucker.
I'm guessing he was on YouTube at the time doing whatever he does, you know.
You know what, though?
His girlfriend or...
Here's my thing. I'm going to get started on this shit real quick.
All right.
I don't understand Matt Hardy. You know, when he came back for the first time after the whole Lita Edge thing, he was over like crazy. And now people don't want to see him. People don't give a shit about him. What happened?
Okay. Well, you just said when the whole thing with Lita, right?
And Edge, yeah, the whole thing with Lita and Edge, and he came back, and, you know, they were fucking, we want Matt in WWE. And then, like, I want to know what happened with that.
Well, that was because of Lita and Edge, not Matt. So, that's the bottom line. And WWE, honestly, they saw him as too much of a draw to Ring of Honor at the time. Matt even came on, you know, the TV and yelled Ring of Honor and then got pulled off and whatever and was out for a while. Well, bottom line is, you know, they didn't like him making money for somebody else. So they signed him back, had him job out to the same guy who legit took his girlfriend. And, you know, with really no end where he got over in the end. They continually jobbed him out. They put him down to the guy who legitimately did some fucked up shit in his life to him. And then moved on. And they just kept pushing him to the back burner and keeping him, keeping him in a point where he really couldn't advance. He couldn't do anything, that was going to get himself into the spotlight ever again. However, you know, it kept him from making money from other people. And they just hung him around. And eventually, yeah, his time was done. Now he's in TNA. They didn't even bring him in towards the main event because he's not worth the main event, not even the TNA, which is a crazy, crazy thing.
It's like the minor leagues.
Yeah, it's insane. And then you got the guy on fucking YouTube with his crazy brother who's fucking, you know, has had a pending court case for like 2 years now.
Right.
And doesn't seem to care about putting himself on, you know, YouTube videos high out of his mind. And, you know, they're tasing his girlfriend. They're hitting his girlfriend with a taser. And, oh, look how funny that is. Oh, it'd be real funny if you didn't have a charge pending, you fucking retard. So that's just, I mean, the way I see it. And, you know, the other thing is, like, they can't stay, like, they're such internet junkies that TNA suspends him. And he immediately goes on Twitter and starts talking about, oh, I have a couple weeks off, ha, 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 joke's on you, blah, 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 blah. Like, only TNA would be keeping the, the company filled with people who clearly don't give a shit about the company in the public eye. They don't even say that shit, like, on the low. They're, like, writing them. They might as well run commercials where fucking Matt Hardy goes, I don't give a shit if I'm there or not. And fucking, who else? Fucking, there's a lot of people. Ric Flair had said shit about TNA before he went there. Kurt Angle had said a shit about TNA. Like, tons of them had all sorts of, well, no, I'm above that. And then all of a sudden they're in TNA and they're still saying it. They haven't even silenced.
And you know what's funny? And Dixie Carter keeps, oh, these are my boys. These are my boys. She's probably blowing half of them fucking.
Well,
in the
I don't think so.
Anyway.
I got to disagree with that, because I think if she was blowing half of them, they'd know when to keep their fucking mouth shut on Twitter. They wouldn't be Twittering about that they don't give a shit about her. Maybe they'd be happy, you know? I don't know. But, no, a couple injuries that have happened this week, too, that are, you know, pretty substantial. The Eagle, Robert Anthony, he tore his quad. He's out 6 months. That's pretty substantial. I mean, I can only hope that they use, you know, his feud with Devin. Obviously, you know, it has to be cut short and everything like that. But, you know, if anybody remembers when Jericho was feuding with Triple H, and Triple H tore his quad during the match, and Jericho proceeded to go around to everybody he was fighting and tell them to shut their mouth or he's going to tear their quad. That type of thing would be nice to rehash. You know, Devin should run around, you know, threatening to tear people's quads. You know, that would get over pretty well with me. Yeah, I you know, I wish him a speedy recovery. It's a terrible thing to happen. You know, he's such a tremendous talent. You know, and right in the middle of a big angle and all of that stuff, you know, it's nothing you want to see happen to anybody. You know, I'm a big fan, but yeah, that's one. I'll get into that the rest later. We do have our first caller, and that is Annie Social. Welcome to the line.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing all right. We figured we'd bring you on. You know, maybe tell you some stories about Trent and, you know, share your feelings and everything like that a little after a year of his passing.
All right, I got you. I'm calling you guys from work, so if it's loud in the background, I apologize for that. I'm hiding in a tanning booth right now on the phone. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so you want me to tell some stories?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So, you know, I was one of Trent's very few female students. And
right.
It was great working with him. I learned a lot from him. He was like a brother to me, and he really taught me a lot. But, you know, he's always messing with people, and it was really funny. I remember this one time we had, I don't know if you remember, the Pro Wrestling Unplugged Fan Appreciation Night Show?
Yeah.
Have you seen
yeah.
that? Okay.
No,
anyway,
we
did a drawing where, like, the fans got to pick matches and whatever. So, like, before the show, we were training with, I think it was Trent, Gary Wolf, there's a bunch of guys there rolling the ring, whatever.
Right.
And this one kid that worked with us, KJ Hellfire, the kid was intense. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen him work, but, like, he was a nut. But anyway, so we're all talking about, like, oh, would it be funny if this one got picked, if that one got picked? And KJ said something, and Trent was, like, lurking in the background like he did. And he came over and he goes, oh, no one's going to pick you. It's going to get down to you and the three ring crew guys, and nobody's going to pick you. You're going to be standing in the corner with your hands behind your back and your head down, shuffling your feet. So we're all roaring, dying. We think it's hilarious. And, you know, so, you know, show goes by, whatever. Nobody picks the kid. So the next day, we're laughing and we're talking about it. It might have been like, I think like me and Teddy Fine and Detox, and we're laughing about it. We thought it was funny. He was ribbing them. So he comes in again, lurking in the background. He's like, and no one did pick you. You were shuffling your feet with your head down. Like, it was really funny. And I'm trying to think. The other time we're training, like, we used to do some crazy drills, and like, we used to pick each other up, fireman's carry, and there were two pillars in the ECW arena. So we go from one pillar to the other, and we run these big circles around them with somebody on our back, right? So this other girl that trained with me, Sarah Murphy, she wound up having to carry Trent. So she picks him up, and, I mean, before we even did this, we'd done all kinds of, like, calisthenic stuff, squats, push-ups, suicide, like, runs in the ring, like, all this stuff. So we're all blown up already. Everybody's sweaty. Everybody's half dead. So then we got to do these fireman's carry drills. So she picks him up, and she's struggling. She's sweating, like, damn near drops him, like, three times. The whole time she's carrying him, trying to run with him, he's going, you got nothing, Murph. You got nothing. It was pretty funny. I mean, he was a character, man. You always knew when he was there at training because he wouldn't be there, and then all of a sudden you'd hear a big, big, big loud sound. He's kicking in the arena back to where you're, like that's how you always knew that he was there.
Yeah,
I mean, we had a fun time
working
together. Yeah, we had a great time. I miss it, man. Like, I miss it. I miss training with all those guys.
Yeah, there's always something somebody misses about Trent.
Yeah. Aside from everything, the shenanigans are definitely up there.
Yeah, definitely. Eric, you got any questions, or? Go ahead.
Nah, I'm good.
Ain't got no questions. All right, you're going to be a part of Acid Fest, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be me and Missy Sampson and Amy Lee as Acid's Angels once again, and I believe we are taking on three guys.
All right.
Say Ian Knox, Eric C. Jones, and I forget who the third member of that team is, but it should be good times. I love working with those two girls, so I think we're going to pull it out and have a really good match.
Excellent. While we have you on the line, too, I want to ask you real quick about you recently got involved with the new company, Pro Wrestling Diana.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
That was awesome. I had a great time over there. I spent actually a month, and I should be going back in September for an extended tour. I'll be there for about 9 months working with the company. It's unreal. Like, it's totally surreal. Like, I was the first show, I almost teared up a little bit. Like, I was standing. We do an opening ceremony where they get the whole roster to come out, and then Kyoko does an opening promo and stuff like that for the crowd, and we're all standing there, and it was my first time in Japan. I'm standing there in the ring. I got my Verdi band on my arm because I always wear that on my gear, and it was just like I looked at it, and I was like, holy crap, I'm in Japan right now. Like, it's really, really unreal. The training's totally intense. I was working out like 7 hours a day, 6 days a week. So... It's really nothing like here. Like, it's a totally different animal over there.
Yeah, definitely. Kyoko's awesome talent, and I'm sure it's going to be a really, really respectable, you know, women's bed that's going to, you know, open a lot of eyes to what women's wrestling can be.
Yeah, no doubt. Did anyone get a chance to see her match at the previous CZW show? She wrestled Sumi Sakai.
Yeah, unbelievable.
It was awesome. Yeah, it was really good.
Match of the show.
No doubt, man. She's awesome. So, I mean, it's definitely an honor to work with her and, you know, some of the girls like Karu Ito. She's incredible, too. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of talent on that roster. So I think they're going to do some big things in the next year, and I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, definitely. I was gloating last week about that match, and, you know, I was saying that is classic, you know, forget about man, woman, whatever. I mean, that was... exactly what, you know, big wrestler versus small wrestler needs to be. And, I mean, you know, Kyoko's speed matches with anybody else at whatever size that she may be. I mean, she's on point.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah.
22 years of experience, man.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That's insane
of me,
you know?
Yeah.
I'm
looking
actually,
forward
I'm really
to what you guys
forward.
Do over there.
I'm really looking forward to going back. I've been studying Japanese, like, 2 hours a day. For like the past month, I got Rosetta Stone and all that, so working on it. It's like my goal for the summer. Learn Japanese. I know it's a big one, but I'm gonna try.
Yeah. Well, I wish you all the luck in the world over there, and you know, thank you for coming on. I don't want to hold you from work for too long.
Ah, gotcha. Well, thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it, man.
No problem.
All right, you guys have a good night, and I hope I see you at Acid Fest.
Absolutely.
Yep.
All right. Later.
Good night. So yeah, that was Annie Social on the line, and our first caller tonight. So what's up, Eric?
No, I'm over here dying laughing. I can just see it now. You know, trying to fucking kicking the fucking doors open and screaming. You know, fucking that's how he makes a fucking entrance. Fucking always made a grand entrance.
Definitely. Yeah, so what I was getting into before Annie called in was injuries. The other big injury is Brody Lee. I got injured recently, and He tore his ACL, his MCL, and dislocated his patella. So that's a guy who's going to be out for 3 to 4 months. So
only 3 to 4 months?
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Wow, those type of injuries for football players, they take about a year.
Well, we could hope that it'll be with the reporting right now, but, yeah, I mean, that's some severe injuries for sure. Definitely.
The ACL
is off.
Oh, that sucks.
ACL, MCL, and a dislocated patella. Yeah, pretty serious.
When did that come out? When did that hole?
I believe it might have been a DGUSA show.
Okay.
I'm not really positive on that, but somewhat thinking that's what it was. And I think originally they didn't think the injury was that bad. And they had just reported, I believe today, that that's, you know, as severe as it is that it's, you know, all of that, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, not good. Not good at all.
Definitely not good.
So, what else you want to get into? I got a bunch of different things thinking of.
We're going to Raw a little later. We'll talk about Raw later, just because I don't want to cut it off. I have some fucking opinions that if you're a WWE fan, you're not gonna. I've had enough of that whole freaking, you know, I don't even know, that Sin Cara shit bothers me.
Yeah, of course, man.
Give me one second. I'll be right back. Hold on.
Okay. I think Eric might be getting another call. You know, he tells you you're going to talk about WWE, and then he starts telling you what bothers him about WWE. Even though he said we're not talking about it till later. What can you do? So, it is what it is.
I'm back.
All right. So what's up? Are we talking about WWE? What are we doing?
You want to talk WWE?
All right. Yeah, we'll talk about that a little later. Let's welcome Juan back to the show. What's going on, Juan?
What's up, baby? Sorry, about the little bit of weather and shit, man.
Yeah, it's crazy out here, right?
Oh, man, tornadoes and shit. What the fuck, man?
Yeah. Thunder, lightning, all sorts of shit. It's nonstop.
I was
going to
say, I want to talk about Trent Acid, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, let me see. What can I define him? Will you say tag team wrestling? That man was tag team wrestling. When you see Motor City Machine Guns, all their moves, you better go back in time and see who originally did those moves.
Definitely.
Like, first time I seen Trent, I mean, I would love to meet him. I know you guys knew him and met him and all that stuff.
Right.
Was Channel 48, the fake UTV.
Right.
I turned it, flipped it, then I see the Yakuza kick. Damn! Well, yo, that's what blew me away. Then I seen the Backseat Boys. That was my favorite tag team there. That blew me away. All their moves, like, they're pretty much defying tag team wrestling without even getting a push to the big leagues whatsoever.
Of course. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they stood out for sure.
And Nicole called me a slut. I don't know why.
That's what it is.
Like, damn, dude, like, really? Because I put a Sookie from True Blood on my page.
That
like,
could
come
be
on.
It. Amongst other things, it could be.
So what? I mean, damn.
Don't play the gimmick and bail on it. You know? But, yeah, man, I mean, I first seen Trent and Johnny, you know, them working the year 2000. They were doing, like, NWA shows and stuff over in Tom's River and stuff like that. And then they were doing the Donnie B shows, and that was more Tom's River stuff. And, Yeah, man. You know, just talking to them after the show and stuff like that. They're the ones that put me on to, you know, to CZW. And I've been there ever since. And it was just nonstop hospitality as a fan. You talk to them after the shows, and it was like you were one of them. Like, man, they brought you right in. They tell you, yo, man, I worked this show this week. I worked that show next week. Man, I'm really looking forward to this match. And it made you
know how
really,
it is, like, it's different between the indies and big leagues. Like, say you go to the big leagues, they won't talk to you, dude. Like, they'll look at you like, oh, look, fresh meat. Who gives a shit?
Right.
Indie wrestling, you know, I went into the backstage of a, like, where I'm training with and everything, the promotion and everything. That's
yeah.
where I met, like, all these people, like, shit. That treated me like family. Like, they were the nicest people in the world. I was like, damn, I wish I could find every locker room like this. And then my trainer was telling me, like, yo, I'm going to tell you something. That all locker rooms are not like this. I was like, you serious? Yep, you're gonna run into the asshole here and there. It's like, oh, all right. I mean, I hope not.
Yeah. Yeah, but those are the guys that, you know, really just stand out, you know, and make the indie fans feel special. And, yeah, you don't know it's like that. You see the wrestlers on TV, and you're like, oh, man, he's really popular. I'm sure he's a dick. Or you even go to, like, a, you know, autograph signing, and you get, you know, 20 seconds of hi, thank you, and okay, next. And you never think that you're going to just be sitting there having a conversation with the guys that are actually entertaining you more than the ones on TV. So, yeah, it's very humbling, and, it, you know, it definitely makes you feel real good to be a fan of that. So
and
he was one of the first guys to do that for me.
The truth, right? And let me see. Trent has to admit, like, you know, that he was the ladies' man and shit. Cause you know the little gimmick, put dollar bills down her pants and shit. Like, yo, who does that? Like, bro, that's like, I start dying laughing too. Like, yo,
yeah.
That reminds me of my brother. I mean, he's a man whore too, but shit, he retired.
Yeah. Backseats Nina saying in the chat, but yeah, Backseats versus Rick Blade and Nick Burke at Tom's River East. And they were doing
nonsense. Damn, I haven't heard that name in years, dude. Holy shit.
Yeah, well, he's still around, but they, you know, they were doing ladder matches that blew all that Edge and Christian Hardy stuff out of the water. Like, Hardy's and all that stuff were getting everybody's attention on TV.
That's
and
what happened. They bought the ZZW DVDs and started copying it, pretty much.
Yep, they, yeah, I mean, overall, I mean, the things that Rick Blade was doing was blowing the risk that Hardy was taking out of the water, and then the backseats off. Yeah, Edge and Christian had nothing on them. I mean, it was just the spots, and, you know, even, like, the way that they worked the match scientifically, you know, there was leading up to the spots, there was the chain wrestling, there was the, you know, the pretty boy stalling, there was, you know, the faces on the other side getting over with big spots, and just everything came together so well. I mean, it worked so well. And that's,
nah, they put
know.
A show on, man. Well, they want these fans that love the show, they put a show. They made these fans, they love it, every single minute of it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the risk that they were willing to take and stuff, too. I mean, you had, you know, Trent or Johnny, you know, either way, they laying on a ladder by themselves on the outside. Rick Blade is doing a senton over the top rope onto the ladder. You know, one man spot. I mean, you look at a lot of these guys coming off the top rope to the outside. There's like 5-6 guys waiting to catch them. I mean, this is
a
guy. I
got a question, though. I'm sorry, let me cut you off. This remember old? There was an ECW show when one dude did, senton bombed off the top of the truck through a table. I think he broke his leg in three.
You're talking CCW?
Yeah.
That was Blade. That was actually a four-way. It was the CCW Originals. That was at Take One. It was the first, I was there live. The first,
well, no shit,
first,
11 years. I mean, damn, dude.
Right. That was, 2001. Shit, I forget the month, but it was in Sewell, and it was actually off that wall in Sewell. Have you ever seen that wall?
Yeah, it was a big ass. I don't know if it was an 18-wheeler, the truck. Like, I think it was
no,
the
no. This one was off the wall in Sewell. He hit it off the truck a couple times, and he didn't break his leg. But the time that he did was it was off the Sewell wall. It was the same one June Kasai dove off of and everything on the inside of the Sewell. And there
damn,
were tables.
Dude, when I saw that, I hit that ground like, there was no give on that boy. He hit that fucking thing hard, dude.
The time he broke his leg, they stacked the tables too high, and they were supposed to go too wide. And they put Lobo on it, and they were supposed to, he was supposed to, you know, do the swanton off of the top of the wall and hit the table and everything. Well, he overshot it a little bit, and yeah, just shattered his leg in three places. It was Lobo, Rick Blade, Nick Gage, and Justice Payne, four-way. And, yeah, that didn't end well.
And another thing, second episode at Fake UTV, when he had the junior heavyweight title with Big Japan. I don't know if he wrestled Sanjay with it. It's been a while since I watched these episodes, man.
Right.
But yeah. The Trent was a beast, though, man. Like, seriously. His Yakuza kick, I'm trying to learn it. I'm still trying to learn it here at home. Because he got him high as shit. Like, he would mush him in the face, like, right in the chin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I haven't really seen too much of it done that way. A lot of cats got really nice, you know, Yakuzas in the corner and shit. And Devin does it pretty well, but, I mean, the extension, you're right. I mean, the extension Trent got with the Yakuza is just unmatched.
Like your logo on there. That thing is high, dude.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely. And it was nonstop. It was the same thing every time. You didn't see, like, it come halfway half the time. Like, he was nailing people.
I like when he stepped on that one somebody. Like, when he caught him, he stepped on top of him.
Yeah, Trent definitely had some flair to him. He was definitely the indie Shawn Michaels. And, you know, they often compare that to that. Now, of course, you know, puts Johnny into, you know, Marty Jannetty class, but...
Funny too. I know I heard that backstage the last show I was at. I was like, oh yeah, you're the Marty Jannetty of this team. I was like, and this is the second time you said that, Marty Jannetty. That's the second time I heard that. I don't know what that means. Like, yo, can someone like really tell me that shit?
Yeah, it was definitely like that, you know, for a long time. I don't know who actually first came out with that, but of course, I mean, it all came about because, you know, Trent had that Shawn Michaels flair. He had that swagger that, you know, Shawn Michaels had. Those type of guys don't come every day.
Nah,
so of course,
man.
When you start comparing, it's, you know.
Never that. Speaking of 1 year, you know that it'll be 1 year I started talking to you, like, last year when you started putting this radio station together, this radio show?
Right. Uh-huh.
I was, like, one of the first people. You said, hey, you want to come listen to the show? Yeah, oh, well, yeah, I'll listen. It was always me, you, Nina, and Eric. Four people always in there. And just kept stacking up. Like, oh, shit.
Yeah, definitely. Juan's an OG with this show.
I know, right? Damn, dude. Because I'll be a year of my job. You have a year next month.
Right.
With the radio show, then passing 1 year of Trent Acid, which is sad, dude. Like, that was, like, hard because you remember when they were in WWF E back in the day?
They were with the Backseat Dudleys?
Oh, man, they made them a joke, dude. I was pissed off when I seen that.
I was just happy to see them on TV, man. I thought it was cool as hell. I think Johnny hit me up and was like, yo, check us out. We're going to be on TV. And, like, I just started seeing the internet buzz. And,
but still, man, they made them a joke. They should at least game some fucking time in the ring.
Yeah, of course. But, you know. You get your spot where you can get it. You know, you get a little FaceTime, and then hopefully in the future you get, you know, the big contract. And, of course, you know, it should have happened. It didn't happen. Sometimes it's just right place, right time, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, you know, the guys like CM Punk, look how many years he sat in the fucking indies, too, before he got picked up. And next thing you know, he's probably the biggest heel in the, you know, in the business at this point. So.
Yeah, it's very,
you know,
true, man.
But they miss a lot of those guys that could be the top face or heel in the business in their company, and they just happen to miss it. There's so many fish in the pond, sometimes they miss the biggest one.
Like, let me see. Who came back on TV? Austin Aries.
Yeah, he's TNA again.
Holy shit, but that man can still work shit.
Yeah.
I didn't want to see him TNA. I mean, I didn't want to see him in WWE neither.
Yeah. Well, you got to get somewhere. Kuma Zeon just got himself through DNA as well.
Oh, you saw him, yo. They showed a commercial like him with a mask, right? He had a mask on?
I think so.
Yeah, because they showed him just like 5 minutes before you said his name, they showed him, like a little spot he had on TV.
Yeah. It's good to see indie guys show up, you know, on your TV. Whether it's a big role, little role, it's just good to see him there.
How about your ex-world champion, your ZZW champion? John Moxley, is he, he signed with WWE yet, or what's going on with
that? Yeah, he's signed. He's in Florida Championship Wrestling right now. They rebranded him and everything. His name's going to be Dean Ambrose.
Dean Ambrose.
And,
wow, Vince, really?
So,
all fucking names, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I actually heard that he named himself that. Like, he actually came up with the name. So, you know, I mean, that's his business. Obviously, they want you to rebrand. But,
for a minute,
yeah,
six figures? Hell yeah, I'll rebrand. Fuck. Give me six figures.
Absolutely. You know, from what I heard, he's doing pretty good in Florida Championship Wrestling. I haven't really seen any of it.
I can't watch it because I can't catch it here in Jersey.
Yeah, I think it's on the internet and stuff if you look around. But, I haven't seen how he's doing. I've just heard he's doing well, and hopefully he gets called up, you know.
Yeah, who else is the FC, though? You think Consensus is Creed is there, too?
Yeah, I think so.
Right, I'm right. He's there.
Yeah, he's Xavier Woods.
I heard Hero and Claudio got their tryout as a tag team, actually.
Really? Finally?
So, yeah.
And then they re-signed Trevor Murdoch, too.
Yep, they added Trevor Murdoch back. But, we could hope to see some good things over there. It comes few and far between, so, you know, I can only hope.
What's your wifey saying? That plus, you don't want WWE to own your name. You're right on that, dude.
Yeah, that's true. Because, you start making it big and now all of a sudden they own John Moxley, you'll never be John Moxley again without paying them, so.
That's crazy, dude. Like, I'm going to name myself J. Cat Morris.
Fuck you. They'll be suing me on my fucking radio show. Well, it's my legal name, so you really can't sue anybody for that. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar found that shit out when he tried to do that to the other cat, the football cat.
Oh, man. Can you imagine that? Someone is taking your name?
Yeah. It wouldn't be appreciated, but actually, you know, it's kind of flattery.
No, I got a question. Who started talking shit about you the last show, man? You're about talking about your tattoos and shit.
Oh, that was Drew Gulak playing the heel gimmick. It's nothing but a heel. And, I mean, I've always liked Drew. He's a cool cat, you know, even if he can't get over without, you know, disrespecting people. But that's fine. But, yeah,
he's
a cool cat. It's a heel gimmick. It's all good, man.
I was ready to go. I was like, yo, let's go to Philly real quick. I got something for him. I'm not going to mark out now like that. You know how these fucking fans get. Believe me.
Nah.
I learned that the hard way, too, man.
Hi, Jess. What's going on? My buddy Jess just showed up. She's not even a wrestling fan. So, yes, I am proud, Jess. How you doing?
Yeah, shit. 1 year, baby. And we're running strong. Yeah.
Right. You got anything else to talk about?
I seen that shoot interview with the Warrior talking shit about Hogan. Good.
Oh,
God.
I couldn't sit through the whole thing, man. He doesn't stop. I got to, call out of work to see the whole shit.
I found it. It's like, it's an hour.
That's what I'm saying.
I was at work on my phone, watched it for an hour because it rained and stuff. Damn, dude. It was pretty deep.
Yeah.
Two old-timers is going at it.
He doesn't stop, man. And all I keep hearing is, between Hogan and X-Pac was trying to, you know, back it up, saying that, Ultimate Warrior used to do gay prostitution. prostitution and this and that. It's funny, man.
I didn't hear that part, dude.
Yeah, the more I hear it, the more I gotta start believing it. Though, can you imagine the face paint and the promos and?
Wait, hold on. Can you just imagine him being gay?
Oh man, that's
like,
a little too intense for a gay man, ain't it?
What?
Yeah, man.
I don't know if Johnny Cash would be offended if they found out that Ultimate Warrior was really gay, dude. Can you imagine telling him that, hey, Ultimate Warrior's gay?
I'm sure he knew before us he's got that gaydar, man.
I know, right? But I didn't really know that until I really didn't know he was, like, gay, honestly. I didn't give a shit, whatever.
Nah, I never heard that he was straight gay, but, you know, I just heard that, you know, rumor had it back in the day he was doing a lot of escorting and, you know, stripping and this and that. He was in his heyday.
I could see him really doing that. Come on, he had the goatee going and shit, slick ass hair.
But, yeah, then I heard he turned that into some escorting, you know, taking some guys out to dinner type, yeah.
If he's getting paid for it, I mean, shit, more power to him. I'm not going to hate him.
There's some things you just can't pay me for. I'm sorry. I'm just not available for that type of work.
If he was going that way, fuck it. I mean,
I'll be broken straight. that's what it's going to be. So.
Yo, man, it'd be nice if we got Johnny Cashmere on the show, too, man.
Oh, that was our very first show we had Johnny on.
Call his ass up and see what he has to say.
Huh?
Call his ass up. But, all right, you guys, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to keep listening to the show.
Why is he calling me?
All right.
Yep. Thanks for calling in, buddy. All right. That was crazy ass Juan. The official slut of Yakuza Kick Radio. and we're back. So let's just jump into the WWE thing real quick. Well, I mean, my first thing I gotta start off with a positive in saying that CM Punk is a fucking genius.
You're damn right.
I mean, the stuff he's doing on TV is just gold. I mean, I find it amazing that a couple of years back I was watching this guy live, you know, and he was just another guy on the card. That's how talented the indies are, is that he was just another guy on the card. I mean, he was fighting your AJ Styles, your Daniel Bryan, your half of these guys are on TV companies, you know what I mean? Well, at least all of those guys. But, you know, he was just another guy. I mean, but he was doing, you know, phenomenal work back then. I watched his feud with Raven in Ring of Honor, and I've never been a Raven fan. I'd honestly got to say between that and The Flock are the only times I even cared about Raven. And I thought, you know, his work was good, but he didn't blow me away with what he was doing. However, stuff he's doing on TV makes it worth watching or skimming through on my DVR, at least. You know, his promos are great. His heel work is great. You know, he told everybody, I'm winning the WWE title. My contract is up in such and such a month, and I'm leaving with the title. I'm out. There's nothing you guys can do about it. I'm going to win it in my hometown at this pay-per-view. I'm not signing another contract, and I'm taking the title home. And say goodbye to your title, because I'm bringing it with me. You know, like, he makes such, like, a convincing, like, heel dickhead argument type thing that you just got to believe that that's about what's going to happen. So, there's a lot of guys who could just talk, but they can't, you know, put on the match or whatever. This guy, you know, he did all the talking he's doing. He does all the gimmick work he's doing. And then he goes on, puts on a great match with Rey Mysterio and Alberto Del Rio. Great match. Three-way.
Good match. Really good match.
Yeah. Really, really well worked. I mean, everybody in there was talented, but I'm saying, like, did the whole thing. So now he's got his title shot, and it's got everybody talking. Oh, is he actually going to run away with that? Is he going to come back? Is he, you know? So
that's what WWE wants, the emotions to run high in the, you know, the fans. And you know damn well a lot of people will be buying that pay-per-view just to see what the hell is going on and what the hell is going to happen. You know what I mean? So it's a smart move to do the angle, because people are, you know, half of the smart marks are thinking to themselves, what is WWE going to do? So they gotta check it out.
Yeah.
Either Punk's winning or Punk's losing, and Punk's, you know, you won't see him for a while. Yeah, but he'll be back. You know, I mean, you just can't just let him go and never come back. You know, I mean, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I mean,
fucking dumb.
From what I did hear is what he wants to take some time off. So, but for him to go out with that type of buzz, I mean, you can't hope to leave a company with any more buzz than what he has, because it just makes them dying for you to come back, because you're such a draw. You have such a, you know, talk about.
I don't understand this whole deal with, oh, they want his name and stuff like that. Do you think that is really, like, the big issue? Like they want his name, but he's not going to budge. He's not going to do it. What are they going to do? They're going to be like, oh, well, looks like we're not getting his name. What do you think is going to happen here?
I mean, I don't know with that. You know, like we were just talking about that a minute ago. And,
because that seems like it's the big issue right there, you know? And that's like the one main issue. I don't really believe that whole time off thing that you're saying. It's got to be the name. It's got to be, I'm telling you. Because this wouldn't be an issue. It wouldn't be an issue, I don't think.
Maybe not. I don't know. Another thing. Now, they did the whole, you know, and it's always fake. Year in, year out, it's always fake. But normally, they go, okay, well, let's vote on what the fans want to see. Well, you don't get what the fans want to see. You know, you get what they think you want to see. So they're like, all right, we got this guy versus this guy, or this guy versus this guy. But they give you, like, two horrible choices, and then the one that you're, like, okay with. And then they just give you the one you're okay with. Everyone knows.
Right.
However, you know,
This makes me laugh. This just makes me laugh, what they fucking did.
They put up, I don't even remember who the third person is.
Jack Swagger.
The bottom line is, Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger versus Evan Bourne. Mason Ryan versus Evan Bourne, or Sin Cara versus Evan Bourne, which was my number one fucking dream match when they brought Evan, you know, they brought Sin Cara in. I was like, I definitely want to see that match. I don't give a fuck what else they do. I want to see that match. So then the fans have voted Mason Ryan. I mean, you can hear the crowd go,
what the fuck?
And then the internet just blew up. Like, what do you mean? You got to be kidding me. No one wants to see Mason Ryan in any match, let alone some kind of dream match. I mean,
how the fuck do they explain that? How the fuck do they explain that?
Oh, 51%. How did they explain that? They got a whole shitload of fucking backlash because they thought that would just be okay. And then they went on the website and were like, oh, there was something happened where we miscounted the votes. Don't fucking bullshit me. You know, damn well you thought you were going to just get away with that. The fans freaked out. You knew what they wanted to see. You were just trying to build your own little stupid angle. Oh, man, that was just pretty comical. Pretty comical. Speaking of Mason Ryan.
On them big time.
Yeah. Speaking of Mason Ryan. I just saw a recent picture of Batista, and apparently he's off the gas. And now Batista looks like a barista at fucking Starbucks. It's pretty awesome. I'm pretty excited to see him like that. So it's awesome. So now they have no fucking option of bringing him back because he looks like a fucking fan.
They have to bring him back now.
You can't. He looks like a fucking fan. Oh, man. did they call him? The Animal Batista or some shit like that?
Yeah, now it'd be like, what, the joke Batista?
The Barista Batista.
Yes. No, Mr. Barista Batista.
Yeah, that would work just fine. Yeah. So, what else we got? What else you want to get into?
Let's see what else we can. I mean, I can bring up some different shit and you know, promote some stuff and.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'd do whatever. That was really the only things that stood out to Raw, you know, from Raw to me. Cause
how about new women's champion Kelly Kelly winning the women winning the WWE Women's Champion off of I believe that was Brie Bella.
Don't care.
Yeah, I know you don't care.
Don't care.
And they had a DiBiase versus Bryan Danielson in the match. The loser had to put a fucking paper bag over the fucking head. That was pretty fucking stupid.
Mm.
But yeah, anyway.
Yep. Oh, that's funny, yeah. Sean's saying in the chat room the two chicks in the picture were bigger than Batista. I have to agree with that. It's pretty fucking funny. And, you know, I'll show you the picture later. You know, no one shoots you a link or whatever. But, yeah, it's pretty funny. Pretty, pretty funny. And you know, I think we had mentioned it in a previous show, but I got to mention it again. He's opening an MMA school, even though he hasn't professionally fought in an MMA match, but he's going to teach everybody how to fight MMA. And Juan comes out of nowhere saying that he loves big pits. And you wonder why they call you a slut, Juan. But, you know, back to business. Like, I don't know who asked you that shit, but go ahead, Juan.
Okay.
What the fuck happened?
All right, ready?
Yeah.
All right, so they got a triple. Chikara has a triple shot this weekend, one in Friday night in Chicago, Saturday night in Taylor, Michigan, and Sunday night in Cleveland, Ohio. I'll go over, you know, all the college real fast. Tomorrow night they got Claudio and Hollow Wicked, Fire Ant versus Ultraman with Black, Sarah Del Rey versus Icarus, the Soul Touchers versus the Brutus Shaft, Soul Durant and Green Ant versus Chuck Taylor and Johnny Gargano.
Juan loves Snooki. Go ahead.
In a first-time-ever match, Eddie Kingston will battle Colt Cabana. Ophidian and Hierocone versus Lucha Libre stars.
Hierocone? His name is Hierocone?
Hierocone. I don't even know what it is. It's Jonathan Gresham in a mask. Anyway.
Okay.
And then the throwbacks with Matt Classic take on the Batiri with. That's that.
They confuse me.
Who?
I just saw a commercial on the TNA, and there's like these Yo Gabba Gabba cats, and I thought Chikara was on, but I was wrong. Go ahead. What else?
Funny
is
guy right there. Funny guy. All right, so. Saturday night, they're going to have another show. Ultramantis Black vs. Eddie Kingston, Mike Quackenbush vs. Ophidian, The Colony versus the Brutus Shaft, Hollow Kid and Frightmare vs. Chuck Taylor and Johnny Gargano, Gregory Iron vs. Icarus, Dasher Hatfield and Sugar Dunkerton versus the Brutus Shaft.
Who is the Cookie Monster fighting?
The Cookie Monster.
Is he fighting someone or no?
Who's the Cookie Monster?
I don't know. I'm just figuring there's a guy like that. No?
Yeah, no.
Okay. That might have well. That might have been Brody Lee under a mask. He might be out for a few months.
Versus, versus Vince Ryan, and they have a showcase match of Clash Wrestling. And
I just saw on TNA they're bringing in Azrael. That's pretty cool.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah. He's like Frederico or Fredico Pacquiao's or, you know, something
and
like
I'm
that.
I'm going to be real honest with you. The Sunday show, nothing too impressive except for Eddie Kingston versus pretty much Jonathan Gresham in a mask.
That could be good.
Yeah. Everything else is the same, same old, same old.
Yeah, they played like a whole, you know, promotional package for Azrael on TNA, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Now Scott Steiner's just throwing a chain around a locker room, and no one seems interested.
No one seems to care. Yeah.
Rightfully so.
I think that's about the time where you turn the TV off.
Nah, it stays on. What else am I going to do? Look at my walls. But,
hey, the NBA draft is on tonight.
The NBA draft, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. We got a flashback. Yeah, congratulations, Cleveland. Do you know how everybody was congratulating them when LeBron lost in the finals? Well, you guys actually have something to cheer about because you guys have the first and fourth pick in the NBA draft. So good for you guys. Yay. Remember when you had the first pick and LeBron James signed with you and the next thing you know he was in the finals and it wasn't with Cleveland?
Hey, the Cavaliers the Cavaliers drafted Kyrie Irving with the first overall pick.
Okay. Everybody in Cleveland, go buy your jersey and then buy your lighter fluid so you can burn it when he gets traded to another team when his contract runs up. Okay? I don't want you guys to buy that. It should come with a complimentary container of lighter fluid. Yep.
And the Heat have not drafted yet, so.
We don't need to. We'll be in the finals again next year. And then everybody will be going, oh, if you guys lose, oh boy, will we have our fucking shit-talking pedestal.
You can't pick another high schooler because there's not high schoolers aren't allowed to come out in the draft anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You can't draft out of high school anymore? Seriously?
Nah, yeah.
You got to go.
That's been like that for a long time, for like 4 years now.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, LeBron was this one from high school. That was the last year that they were allowed to
go. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So much LeBron hate. It's phenomenal. It's so funny. Well, what can you do? Anyway, we do have, like I said, the CZW Tournament of Death 10 this weekend. So
10 years. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
10 years of 10 years of death. Holy shit.
Yeah, that's where I'll be on Saturday. And I figure I'll give you a quick rundown on the card and my criticism on a few silly ideas that they came up with, but what else can I do? So what it is you have eight men. For those who don't know, you have eight men enter a tournament of death that are some of the craziest death matches that the world has ever seen. This is the most ultra-violent, the biggest death match tournament in the country, and really one of the only still existing death match tournaments in the country, which proves, if nothing else, that they are the elite. And you have last year's Tournament of Death 9 winner, Scotty Vortex, taking on Masashi Takeda in a thumbtack kick pads and Taipei death match. And for those who don't understand that language, thumbtacks will be attached to the kick pads of both wrestlers. So any kicks delivered by each wrestler will also deliver thumbtacks to the opponent, as well as Taipei death match, which means taped fists rolled in glass. So that will be a first round matchup. You also have the returning Necro Butcher versus the Bulldozer Matt Tremont now here comes my criticism, quote unquote, get hit match. Okay. They describe that as a match with water jug bats and other bats, and anything else you could swing. Okay, well, in previous years, they called it a home run derby match, and it sounded a little more respectable than a get-hit match. I'm not really sure if we're trying to cater to more of the Delaware locals or what we're trying to do. No disrespect to the Delaware locals, but where do you retire the home run derby and come up with a get-hit match? Like, I'm not sure where you're going with that. I'm somewhat of a hard time when you dumb down the English language that much for me to understand what you're going to do, you know? I don't know. It could be just me. So, yeah. What can I do? Yeah, good call, Juan. DJ is dumb. That's coming from another fan.
That's DJ's call.
Right. So now you also have, and that's going to be a crazy match. You know, all criticism of the stipulation aside, that's going to be a crazy match. You have also Tournament of Death 7 winner and Ultraviolent Underground champion, Danny Havoc. First round against the Black Angel, Jackie Numazawa from Japan. And that is going to be a light tube celebration match. Pause. Yeah. crazy match, but I don't understand why we have to come up with, like, Elmo's big birthday light tube celebration in order to tell me that.
The Cookie Monster, Cookie Monster death match.
Yeah, I don't understand.
And get hit with light tubes.
Yeah, I don't think any of these new names for the stipulations are necessary. In the end, they're going to be.
I think they will be retiring those names after this show.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, honestly, it's just like, they're going to be crazy, crazy matches. You'll watch them on DVD later, and then you'll show them to people on DVD that didn't see the show. And then you're like, this is called a get-hit match. And then they're just going to look at you and shake their head. Like, why did you even need to tell me that shit? People are getting hit from the start of the match to the finish. I don't think that was a necessary additive to what this is. You know, if you say, hey, this is a home run derby match, you'd be like, oh, that makes sense. If you're like, this is a get-hit match. Well, that's quite a name you guys came up with. So, all right.
A cupcake death match. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, the cupcake death match. Jesus Christ. Anyway. Then you have a Fans Bring the Weapons match with Dysfunction versus Masada. And that is the Tournament of Death. Non-tournament, there is Philly's Most Wanted. It was originally Philly's Most Wanted plus the Ego Robert Anthony until he tore his quad. Versus Devin and two mystery opponents. Now, it's Philly's Most Wanted of Sabian and Joker versus Devin Moore and a mystery opponent. So, there's that. There's also, you really got to play the fans as fools to think that they believe that this is going to happen as is. There's a few ways it's going to turn out that I'll go over in a second. DJ Hyde versus Greg Excellent versus Sammy Callahan. Not going to happen. And if it does, one of them's turning heel, and DJ and other question mark is beating the shit out of said third party. Otherwise, DJ's adding another 1 to 2 people to the match, and it'll be a handicap type situation. And either way. It's not going to be a 2-on-1 Sammy and Greg versus DJ. Not only that, but the whole thing is kind of silly because no one wanted to see fucking DJ and Greg at all. So then you take your biggest star in the fucking company and just bury him in between these two fucking enormous bodies of flesh. So, not really sure what the fuck that, you know. Not really sure what that's supposed to be. So yeah, who do you guess, or who is your pick for winning Tournament of Death this year?
I know we were talking about it off air, and I'm gonna have to agree with you.
Yeah,
I think Masada.
Yep, that would definitely be my pulp fiction. Reminds me of a certain stable who was completely neglected in CZW. Rhymes with Pulp Fiction. So, I would definitely say Masada. He deserves it. You know, a lot of people are saying Danny better win it. I don't understand why. Why? I mean, Danny's already won a tournament.
Who are you most looking forward to seeing out of...
Toby Klein says, whoever mows the lawn is winning it. That's awesome.
They'll be fighting to fucking mow the lawn. They'll be like, give me that fucking lawnmower. Give me that fucking lawnmower.
Well, no. Devin usually mows the lawn because he's riding the tractor all over the property.
Looks like he's winning this year. He'll be inserted in the tournament later. And, yeah. Double duty.
Who knows?
Are you looking forward to seeing Matt Tremont get his fucking head punched in by Necro?
Well, yeah, but honestly, like, I hope he's able to put out an impressive showing, as he did it at CZW's Proving Grounds, because I believe it was Proving Grounds, was it? Or no, Prelude to Violence. That's what it was called. He's impressive, man. You know, he's not your, you know, he's not built like the Black Keys, and he's not, you know, wrestling like Chris Hero. But, I mean, this is a guy who is a deathmatch beast, man. He is, you know, he's definitely a tough, tough dude. He's able to take the shit. He's able to throw the shit. He's strong. He could pick people up and throw them around. And he's definitely not scared to take the fucking abuse, so...
Would you be surprised to see him win the tournament?
Oh, incredibly surprised. Incredibly surprised. I don't think for one second... honestly, that would take a lot of balls out of DJ to put the, the faith in a guy that's that young in his company over in the whole tournament. I wouldn't think in a million years that would happen. So... that would just be my thing there. I mean, I would put Takeda over to get fucking credibility with Big Japan, to help influence that whole relationship. I would put Masada over because I think that's the right thing to do. He hasn't won one yet with there. And that's pretty much the only people I would put over. I mean, again, Tremont, he's good, and I think he's going to be a big, big thing in CZW for a while now. And they need a guy like him because they've lost a lot of top deathmatch wrestlers, and there's guys who just don't want to do that shit no more, and I can't blame them. So I wouldn't do that shit to begin with. So, but yeah, of course, yeah, he is facing a deathmatch master in Necro, as Sean says, but I also don't think that Necro wants to do the shit as much as he used to. Nicole's saying goodnight, so goodnight, Nicole. Thanks for stopping by. That's just my opinion on the whole thing. I can't wait. It's definitely my favorite show to attend every year. It's just so much fun to be there. Anybody who hasn't seen it live definitely needs to get out there once in their life because it's just so much fun. It's just the perfect atmosphere. Okay, now Nicole says Masada won't muzzle on. So, maybe he won't win. maybe he'll coach Devin on which way to run the lines and get credit for it. I don't know. He'll book Devin as lawnmower.
Sure.
Well, so yeah, that's Tournament of Death. I encourage everybody to get out there and check that shit out. I believe Ring of Honor is running in New York as well, right?
Yeah, best in the world.
All right. So what's the card on that going?
Let me get to it right now.
All right. Another company, you know, I would love to, you know, check out what they're doing and stuff, because they promote a whole lot of, like, you know, upcoming stuff, and they tell you a lot about what's about to go down, and they, I think, have pay-per-views and all that. That's the UWF, it's the Urban Wrestling Federation, where they book nothing but you know, black people, Puerto Ricans, stuff like that. I believe the owner's a white guy, so it's kind of funny, but anyway, that's where they're going with it, and they run, like, consistently New York stuff. Well, they ran their first show and did a whole lot of promotion going into it to get a lot of different, you know, attention drawn to their company, and I have no problem with that. Honestly, you know, they got my attention, so I'm like, cool, man, they got a lot of talent there, even if they're, you know, only picking from certain colors or whatever like that, and that's fine, but you know, I looked at the card and I'm like, oh yeah, cool. And next thing you know, the show happened, and I can't find fucking results anywhere. I can't find results anywhere on the fucking internet. They don't have a fucking website to tell you where the fucking results are. They don't have anything to fucking tell you. And anywhere I search, maybe it's up there today, I don't know. But I searched for probably at least a week after the show, to try to find out what the fuck happened at the show. They can't tell me nothing. Now, they're planning another show without telling me what happened at the last show. So I'm just wondering, like, is this more like the Stop Snitching initiative? Are they, you know, stop snitching on our results? And they, you know, they put a hit out on everybody that's snitching out the results, and now we can't even know what's going on with the show because everybody's tight-lipped. I don't know, man. I just find that the craziest way to fucking, you know, promote your wrestling shows. Be like, this is going to happen. They're like, yep, that happened. Next time it's going to happen is that day. You're like, wow, that's, huh. All right, so I can't know about the other day. Nah, you don't know nothing, homie. Like, all right then. I'm going to move on.
I got the Ring of Honor card up, and I believe we went over this before, and it's going to sound about the same.
What's that?
I said we've went over this card in the past.
Right.
And it's the same fucking card. They didn't announce any new matches or anything like that. But I'll go over it one more time.
Yep.
Ring of Honor World Title match, Eddie Edwards defends against Davey Richards.
Okay.
So former partners going against each other. Four-way Ring of World Tag Team Title elimination match. Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. Wrestling's Greatest Tag Team, which is Charlie Haas and Shawn Benjamin versus Kings of Wrestling, Hiro and Claudio, All Men Express, Rhett Titus, Kenny King, and the Briscoe Brothers. World TV title match as Christopher Daniels defends against El Generico. Special challenge match is Steve Corino versus Michael Elgin. The Prodigy Mike Bennett versus Jay Lethal. In a no-holds-barred street fight, Homicide takes on the War Machine Rhino. And Generation Me versus Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. And Colt Cabana versus Tommaso Ciampa.
Huh.
And this is June 26th, so that would be Sunday afternoon.
Cool.
Yep.
So now I'm getting news from Sean, owner of 1CW, in the chat room. Now it makes a lot of sense. the Stop Snitching initiative was put in place because the pay-per-view did not air yet. So they don't want to leak the results to the show because they don't want to spoil the pay-per-view, which is some of the silliest shit I've ever heard. I mean, they've done a pretty good job of not letting the results leak because, shit, you can't do that with fucking TNA. You can't do that with WWE. If there's a house show, it's all over the fucking internet. However, yeah, I don't think they turned out that many fans to even get on the internet. And then
I wonder how the show came out.
Well, you know, some people are saying that, you know, the people involved were not really thrilled with the turnout. So, you know, maybe they'll be like Fat Frank and not be interested in running shows that only have a couple hundred people. Or maybe they'll be envious of Fat Frank's couple hundred people and, you know, we'll hope to do better.
Well,
I'm not sure.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
But that's pretty interesting because, honestly, there's nowhere that you can actually create that much of a buzz and fucking not have people on the internet saying this and this and this happened. So if that's the bottom line and that's the end result is where no one says anything about your show, they're not keeping it hush for you. Chances are you had more workers in the back than you had fans, so that's that's sad. I'm glad your workers are tight-lipped for you, but I hope you sell pay-per-views.
They're going to, like, legit pay-per-views. Oh, boy, yeah.
Now,
I wasn't even going to run a show in 2010, yeah.
Did they actually have fans there, or was it just a closed-circuit taping?
That'd be so stupid if they didn't have any shows.
I'm not sure, dude, because I'm really not sure on whether they actually had fans.
They were promoting the shit out of the show for 2 months, fucking saying, "Yo, come on out to fucking Hammerstein, come on out to Hammerstein, out to Hammerstein." Everybody was fucking posting Eddie Kingston, fucking Sabian, "Yo, check out Urban Wrestling Federation, check out the Wrestling Federation." Yeah, check out this Fed. Check out that Fed. Fucking, what the fuck? Nobody knew anything about the Fed. You didn't know the fuck half of this fucking shit. You fucking said, "Oh, come down to Hammerstein. There's going to be some wrestling." You know, I wouldn't want to go to a fucking show if I didn't know who the fuck was going to be on the show.
Definitely got to agree with you. You know,
what the fuck?
Yep.
I want to know some matches. I want to know some talent. You know? I want to know who's going to be on the show, who's not going to be on the show. It's like fucking going into a fucking... It's like going into a fucking store not knowing what the fuck you're looking for. It's like, what the fuck are you going to go to a store if you don't know what you're looking for?
A lot of people in the chat are saying that they lost sound. Pretty much everybody in the chat is saying they lost sound. So I just instructed them all to reload because I believe that'll bring them all right back. And
we're still on the air. I know that.
Right, right. Sean is saying, you know, they're drawing 250 to 300 at 1CW in Delaware, and he's thrilled. And I can't blame you, man. Sometimes we get that type of listenership through our radio show, and I'm thrilled. There's other shows that are doing, 1,500, 2,000 people. You know, they're doing 2 million downloads a year and shit like that. I hope to get there one day, but damn, man, I'm glad that there's a couple hundred people interested in what I'm doing, whether it's a radio show, whether it's a wrestling show, whatever you're putting on. If you could get a couple hundred people, I don't know a couple hundred people to just list off to you right now. I don't personally know a couple hundred people that I could fucking get to, swing by or whatever the case may be. So if you're able to generate enough to get that many people in the building, man, that's phenomenal. So, yep, that's how I feel. I believe that small market, that's Building Point Wrestling, or that's Building Point Radio, that's all of it. I mean, it is what it is. It's where you need to be to get somewhere better.
Right. We're still going. It's just.
Yep, we're still going. I know.
You can hear me. It's not, you know, it says on air on my end, so we're definitely on air.
Absolutely. Oh, good. We're about to get a call in a minute. And,
okay.
We'll see what goes on there, and we'll just continue to go from there.
And we have, I believe we have a caller.
All right. I'd like to welcome to the show the owner of 1CW, Sean Hardy.
J-Cat, Eric, what's up, fellas?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Enjoying the topic, but I had to butt in on that one because I did hear some rumors about Fat Frank saying that, you know, is a little bit upset about the turnout for his shows and everything. And like I just posted, you know, we're thrilled to death to get whatever we get. I know in today's economy, everybody works very hard for their money and
right.
has a big choice on where they want to spend it. So anytime they spend it to come to one of our shows, it's a great honor. And for anybody to kind of put it down and say he was disappointed in the turnout, to me, just kind of fits back in the face of the industry a little bit, you know. So I'm speaking up on behalf of the little man down here and saying, hey, be appreciative of what you got, and we sure are down here.
Yeah, that's just, you know, to recap pretty much what he was saying. And, you know, I agree with you completely because I just look at that as indie wrestling. And it was fine with him for 10 years or 12 years, and now all of a sudden what he did is he kind of like went into a partnership with TNA. He did a partnership with New Japan Wrestling. And, of course, he brought them in. He had 1,200, 1,500 people in the building. Then, you know, he made a statement saying, I'm no longer interested in doing 300-400 in a building. I'm hanging it up and wait. You know, I'll come back when I feel like doing this again. And I was just like, wow.
See, here's my problem. Here's my problem with that bullshit. He goes ahead and says that, you know, that he wants to make more money, but then that motherfucker goes on that new fucking JSCW, whatever that he's starting up, and says, first show he's doing, free admission.
Free. Yeah.
Like, how the hell
do you know?
Like, he sounds like a hypocrite when he says that shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But he's also forgetting it was that 300 and that 500 people crowd that got his attention to TNA and Big Japan and wanted to do the partnership because, you know, if you're just, you know, you're not drawing anybody, you know, they're not even going to want to do business with you. So it was the good crowds that he was drawing that made them even interested in doing business with him in the first place. So for him to say he's not interested in that, to me, is just, kick in the face of us, you know, fans that are loyal, you know, and that's just how I take on it.
Yeah. So when's your next show coming up, and what's the card shaping up to be?
We got our next show. We were actually scheduled to run in July, and TNA then dropped a date on us to run the same day in the same area 10 minutes away, so we have now pushed our show to August. We're going to be running August 27th right down here in Camden, Delaware. I got my 1CW champion, Christian York. He's going to be defending against the Black Machismo, Jay Lethal. So really looking forward to that matchup. Two good guys, two big stars. I got my first state champion here, Ryan McBride, great upcoming independent star here on the East Coast. He's going to be defending the title against Sanjay Dutt. That'll be another great match that we're looking forward to. We got a couple ECW people coming in, Axel Rotten, Julio De Niro, and we're mixing a bunch of the local guys, and we're really looking forward to it. Like I said, we're getting about 250, 300 tops, so, it's been a great thing for 1CW in Delaware, and we're just looking on moving forward.
Yeah. And then I figure, I'll get your opinion on as well, because, we had opened the show with it, but, the recent passing, of Justin Roberts, I mean, you knew him quite well. And
very well.
He was,
good guy.
Worked on your shows, and, what's your thoughts on everything like that?
It's everybody likes to try to blame it on the business and put another black eye on us. Let me just say a couple things, like you mentioned already. Justin was a great person. He was a great friend, and he was a great father, and a family man. And let's not lose sight of any of that. And then on top of it, he chose to be in this sport, in this business, and he was a great entertainer. He thrilled many of people who got to enjoy his work. I think he was an up-and-comer on the East Coast and had a great future in front of him. obviously, if I wasn't doing my next show for autism and already had that planned for the autistic people, I would be doing my August show for Justin and his family. But being as I already had that in the works and the paperwork signed, I couldn't back out of the autism event. So in September, which will be my next event, we're going to do something to raise some money for JT and his family. And we're really hoping to get a big response from all the local people and hopefully a good turnout in his honor. Great guy, and it's choking me up a little bit as we talk. But I am very proud and honored to say he was a good friend, and I appreciate what you guys did in your tribute tonight.
And
to Trent as well, also.
Yeah, and, you know, you had, obviously, you know, in the past, you know, crossed paths with Trent as well.
Absolutely.
You know, give us your feelings on Trent.
Yeah, I met Trent through a couple of mutual workers in the business and everything and got introduced to PBW and enjoyed his work more as a fan than as a promoter at the time because I had not started. And I tell you, he was an awesome talent. We all talked about it. I think you hear the term a lot of times with stars. He was ahead of his time. Yeah, he had a mind for the business and was just had that natural charisma that people flock to. We had a couple stories where we went on the road that we went out to the gathering and did the show with the Juggalos and stuff like that. I can tell you some pretty big stories and some pretty good stories, but, you know, let's not go there. And but I tell you, the best thing about it that I want to remember is he put a smile on everybody's faces. When he went in the ring, he put on a show. And there's no doubt about it, he was a showman, and he was a great entertainer, and he's dearly missed, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we all miss him in one way or another, whether, you know, he was training the people like Antisocial that came on earlier or
yeah.
A fan like me or, you know, a promoter like yourself. I mean, everybody missed him in one way or another.
Yeah, he definitely touched a lot of people. He was a practical joker. And again, some of the things and some of the road trip stories, I could tell you, we had some great times and would definitely make great memories for me forever, but just the fact that he was an entertainer and was doing some things. We talk about the Yakuza kick and some of the moves and everything, but just his charisma in the ring and the things he did, he definitely should have been, you know, on TV. He was way ahead of his time, and as a fan in this area, I was thrilled to death to say that I was part of watching him and got to see a great deal of his matches. So, you know, very fortunate, I believe.
Yeah, definitely. So I'd seen that you mentioned you're actually going to be attending Tournament of Death on Saturday, huh?
Oh, yeah, there's that wrestling fan inside of me, and that's one of the things that I attend almost every year. I think out of the 10 that this will be number 10, I think I've only missed two of them total. One of them due to a friend's wedding, and the other time I was in the hospital. It's this is the event I look at. It's one of these type of things that you either love it or hate it, and this is where the wrestling mark comes out in Sean Hardy because I love this shit.
Awesome, man. Yeah, well, I hope to see you out there. I'll definitely be there myself. And
Good. Looking forward to it.
Yep, definitely. Anything else you want to get out there? Or?
Hey, I just want to say thank you guys for what you guys do because it's you guys that give us the forum to put our companies out there and our federations. We appreciate all the plugs and everything. And, hey, keep up the great work, and thanks for having me on the show tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. You know, you could definitely thank my buddy Paul, who does such phenomenal picture work for you over there. And
great guy. He'll be with me Saturday. He's my man.
Sure will. So, you know, you put me on to your stuff over there. And, yeah, man, I like what you're doing. And anytime you need help, promotion, whatever, we got you, man.
Thank you so much, Eric, J. Katz. You guys have a great one. I look forward to seeing you guys all on Saturday.
Absolutely, man. See you then.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Good night, man. So, yeah, that was Sean Hardy, owner of 1CW. They run shows. They do benefits for autism. They, you know, he's going to be running that tribute for, you know, JT Roberts in September. You know, autism benefit in August. And, yeah, man, they're doing great shows. So check them out if you're in the Delaware area, by all means. So nice family shows. You know, high impact stuff at the same time, definitely worth going out and checking out. So, yeah. So what else you got, Eric?
Well, we talked about the Ring of Honor show. We talked about Raw. We talked about TNA a little bit.
Yeah. I gotta put out there from the start that you know, like I said, we were gonna have some people call in, you know, to talk about Trent, and this is the reason why I did not want to put out there as a full-fledged tribute, because I did have 3-4 people that were definitely down to call in, and Sean wasn't even one of them. I'm very thankful, you know, Sean called in, and that's very great, you know. And you know, the show goes on one way or another, but I prepared myself for this because we did have several people that wanted to call in and give stories, and I thank Annie very, very much for coming through with her word, but several other people just didn't come in, you know, with what they said they were going to do, so... Again, I didn't want to come up short because, you know, with the tremendous amount of respect that I have for Trent, I would never, ever come short on something that I was trying to do to tribute him. So, you know, we definitely paid our respects. But, again, this was a normal show. This was just something we were going to make, you know, a topic of conversation being Trent Acid because, you know, it is, you know, a little after a year of his passing, and it definitely needs to be mentioned. So, yeah.
Yeah, we even had Juan, you know.
Yeah, Juan, yeah, tremendous guy. Hey, I just watched Sima Zion win his match in a three-way. Not really sure who the third guy was, but it was a three-way with Azrael and the other guy. Not really sure. But
the other guy.
Yeah, the other guy. Well, he won with a 450.
I'll find out real quick.
Yeah, it's like Dakota something or other, and he had to have it like a normal indie name or something, but I'm not sure who that guy is.
Why'd they bring in Shima Zion?
Because he's fucking a good talent, and more guys like him from the indies need to be brought in to, you know, on TV companies.
Yeah, but what the fuck, are they doing an angle with him or no?
Well, they just put him over. Oh, now Jerry Lynn's coming in to confront Rob Van Dam. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, I watch TNA and
wait,
I watch
Jerry
Lynn's
now. Wait, Jerry Lynn's now with TNA?
I guess he just walked into. See, it's all mimes. Like when I watch TNA, I'm on the air, and it's muted on my TV. So they're all like mimes. Last week I tried to like put the words in the mouth of the guys because it was Sting and Hogan yelling at each other. And it was just like, you know, I don't know why you got to come out with the pain all the time. Why you got to keep spray tanning? I don't understand this. I'm angry at you. You stole my battleship pieces, you bastard. You know, like these type of things is what I think that those two old men were saying. But I beat you.
Wait a minute.
What?
Austin Aries is back in TNA.
I know. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
But yeah, I'm just saying, like, when I hear these, well, I see these promos, not really sure what actually was being said. So you see Rob Van Dam, like, shrugging his shoulders and looking all arrogant, and then you see, like, Jerry Lynn walk up behind him. Then you see his mouth move, and Rob Van Dam turn around looking shocked. And then they pretty much stop talking, and then they go to a Coors Light commercial. You know, it is what it is. That's more or less what it is. I just don't understand why these old wrestlers need to be heard all the time. Some of them still have talent, but they're not put in there to push the young talent. They're just put in there to wrestle the old, other withering talent. So then when they're gone, it's like pulling the rug out from under anybody. Like if a company is, okay, you got your young talent and your old talent, and they're separated, like the colors were back fucking before, you know, Lincoln freed people. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way it comes off. They separate everybody. They're like, well, you're this guy, and you're this guy, and then, well, you're not one of those guys. So you sit down there at the lower card. So now when those guys finally retire because they've had their fifth stroke, you just got to go on your own. Instead of having the guy who doesn't need to be wrestling anymore still wrestle, still do what he's doing, because he wanted to anyway, and continue to promote and lift up the younger talent. So when the older guy leaves, well, he's already boosted the younger talent and ushered in the new era of wrestling. He's brought the new wave of wrestlers in. He's helped, you know, the old school wrestling fans that know this veteran of wrestling is now familiar with the new wave of wrestlers thanks to that veteran of wrestling. That's what I believe they should be used for. If they're not used for that, they're not worth shit. I don't need Sting arguing with Hogan every fucking week over Stratego and fucking, you know, whether who took the rest of the Metamucil fucking and didn't refill it. You know what I mean? I don't need that shit. I don't need that shit. It's not worth anything. It's fucking ridiculous. Nobody wants to hear that. And the bottom line is, like, again, what are you left with? When all these guys go into fucking epileptic seizures and fucking can't wrestle anymore, the young guys are going to be like, oh, this is awkward. That fucking guy just... guy had another stroke. And Ric Flair's had Alzheimer's for fucking 5 years. And yep. All right,
the third
then.
The third guy was Dakota Darso, who's the son of Barry Darso.
Oh, okay. So he actually has, like, a legacy behind him. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he was in developmental from 08, late 08, and then got released June 5th of 09.
WWE developmental. How nice. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the whole shit, the way that they go there, it's what it is, man. It's, they need to use these veterans to uplift the young talent. If they're not doing that, what are they using them for? Like, what, honestly, somebody tell me. Yeah. Nina's saying that, she's surprised they haven't made the entrance ramp shorter for these old men. Now,
yeah.
Because the longer it is, the less of a severe drop it is. You'll have them coming out going, this feels like that free fall ride. This is nonsense. I'm catching a heart attack. My pacemaker's in my throat. This thing is so steep. I'm calling management. I'm writing letters. Not emails, real letters.
Yeah, that'll
you
get
know?
There in a couple weeks.
Yeah. It's, you know, eventually they're going to have those things like in like in Gremlins, before the Gremlins rigged it. When they just sit them on a chair and then it, like, electronically fucking, like, brings them to the ring very slowly.
Right.
And they just sit there looking all grimaced and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. just very
TNA is interesting. It's as interesting as Urban Wrestling Federation, where they have teammates. No, it's as interesting as Urban Wrestling Federation or any of those shows.
I gotta tell you, I like this fucking winter gimmick. I gotta tell you straight up, like, the whole winter gimmick with the other ugly chick that she brings with her. What's the other ugly chick she brings with her?
I have no idea.
No idea? Well, because Winter has, like, another chick that's brutally ugly. What? Angelina Love.
Winter? Oh.
Winter is, she was Katie Lee Burchill.
Okay.
Yeah, she runs like a dominatrix fucking, like, dominant type controlling angle, right? Where she, like, controls the mind of this other chick who's just blatantly ugly.
Is Paul Burchill there? Anyway.
No, not at all. Angelina Love, yeah, she is brutally ugly, but she follows this other chick around with this dead look on her face. That's pretty much how she... I don't think she changes, like, how she walks into fucking 7-Eleven and how she walks into the ring. I think it's the same way. She just looks lost in the fucking lights. But that's fine. But I like the angle. I don't know why I like the angle. It's just, like, it kind of works because Angelina Love kind of works robotic anyway. She doesn't work like a normal wrestler that knows what she's doing. She looks
half
like she's reading
fucking,
off.
Half of those fucking knockouts don't know what the fuck they're doing.
But she
anyway.
Looks like she's reading off a teleprompter anyway. Juan, are you seriously telling me that Angelina Love is hot? Seriously?
Is Juan saying that?
Of course Juan is saying that.
Is Juan really saying that for real?
He says, not anything. I don't know what the hell that's supposed to mean. So, but no, I mean, like I said, you know, Winter can work. She's a good-looking chick, and she leads this fucking mongoloid around and tells her what to do. I think that's fine. I think that's really well. I like the way it goes. And then the feuding with Mickey James, who's a very, very talented country bumpkin. And, you know,
what?
What?
You said country what?
Bunkin. she's a redneck girl.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. She sings country music, and that works for her. So, anyway, no, but I think it's a good angle. The whole way that this shit goes seems well to me. I don't think, like, when you're in an angle that calls yourself the beautiful people, and you look like someone hit you with a shovel and you're standing next to the Velvet Sky, doesn't work. Just doesn't work. I'm sorry. It doesn't work. So, yeah. Juan, I don't think, no. No. I'm just going to leave it at that. But, yeah, so that's more or less what's going on in TNA. Oh, here's the mongoloid. Her leader just won a match, so she went just crawling out from wherever rock she was under. And, yeah, that's what it is. There she is. Miss Mongolia. So, yeah, man. Don't worry about what he's saying, Dina. You don't want to know. Jess is back. That's awesome. Now Sting is fighting the bigger fake Mankind. What else do we have to talk about? Because I'm just about done. I am more or less playing a very horrible show.
We have played nothing, really. I mean, I have nothing. We went through everything. We went through Raw, went through Tournament Death, we went through Chikara stuff, went through the Ring of Honor stuff.
Yeah, I'm about to go through my bedroom window in a minute because I'm running out of a lot of shit to say, and I think we more or less are going to run through our plugs and our shout-outs and call it a night.
Okay.
Well, let me start this. I'd like to definitely give a big shout-out to Sean Hardy for coming on the show, 1CW Wrestling. Check them out on facebook.com/1CWrestling. I believe it goes like that. If that doesn't work, go with... Okay, Juan, I'll give you that in a second. He wants a Q&A, because I'm fine with that. I like that. Questions from the chat room thing. So, the other thing I'd like to definitely shout out, yes, I see him. I see him. you know what? Fuck it. Juan, okay, Q&A. Q&A from the chat room. Any questions, throw them up. I'll answer them. I can't provide boobies for you, Juan. Just questions and answers. More or less, I can only provide you answers because I don't got any questions for you, homie. So, throw your questions up, Juan, who wants it so much. Any questions from the chat room? Most of our chat room is, well, no, there's like a guest left, but otherwise. Okay, where's the questions? You're screaming Q&A
no.
And you ain't got no Q. Huh. Jesus Christ. Next week, we will have a very polished and professional intro. I hope. courtesy of my boy Anthony Missionary Thomas, who runs the Wrestling Soup over there. So check them out at thewrestlingsoup.com, I believe it is, or wrestling-news.com. You can find them over there. And he runs quite a show. I'm actually, when I'm done with this show, I'm going to chime in over there because Kent, you really, I mean, dude, you fucking asked me for Q&A, and then the next thing, it takes you 20 minutes, and then you come with, wait, can you roll a block down a hill? Motherfucker, when we're done in a minute, take a block and go fucking tell me next week if you pulled that shit off. I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know what to tell you. You must think I'm sitting on top of a mountain and like a Sherpa, not a Sherpa, but a Sherpa is the ones that go up the mountain, like a, what's the motherfuckers? You know, like the monks, like a monk. I'm just sitting on top of a mountain in like a little hut. Like, oh, thank you for coming. Can you roll a block down a hill? Very good question. Like, oh, what the fuck am I supposed to tell you, dude? Jesus Christ. Do I like cats? Man. Do you like titties? Come on, man. Let's get real. It's not on the same level. It's definitely not on the same level, Mom, before you get any fucking crazy ideas. But, yeah. Again, shout out to Wrestling Soup over there. My boy Anthony Missionary Thomas, Joey Numbers, his crazy ass, man. Yeah, great show they do over there. They do it on Thursday nights, so, of course, you know, if I'm on their show, I'll tell you, hey, go download our show. Listen to it on the archive. But on our show, I'll tell you, hey, listen to them on the archive, or we sign off early, fucking come check us out. You know what I mean? Do I think DJ is a funny guy? No, I don't. No, I don't. DJ thinks he's a funny guy, though. So, that's a good question. I think DJ is doing a phenomenal thing this weekend and putting on Tournament of Death once again and giving us all the most fucking unbelievable shit as far as fucking, you know, deathmatch wrestling, the fucking, the king of ultraviolent wrestling, the fucking, the plateau of ultraviolent wrestling, where you will never ever see something better, is Tournament of Death that happens once a year, sometimes twice, but I don't need to go to Delaware twice, it's far. And that is the place to be. That is the number one fucking place to be. If you like ultraviolent wrestling, you like deathmatch wrestling, you're within a few hours of going there, by all means, get your troops together, load a cooler in the fucking car, come out. Some people call it death stock. You're out there, it's fucking hot. You're out in the middle of this fucking field that's DJ's parents' backyard, fucking partying, drinking, fucking watching deathmatch wrestling. Great fucking day out. By all means, show up, holla at me, man. I'll be there. Can you throw rocks at me? What? I'll throw them back. I mean, can we river dance? What? Juan, I don't know what to do with you, man. Gotta love Juan, but I don't even know where he comes from. Other than Jackson, I don't know where the fuck he comes from with his question. So, other shout-outs. Oh, fuck, man. Last night, I think it was last night or yesterday, some shit. And then the bell rings. Jerry Wiseman over there, the guy who ran that serious ambush on Ian Rotten, he actually pulled off having China on the show. So, shout-out to him.
Did you listen to it?
He did pretty well, and, you know, I feel like some things might have been off, you know, off limits, you know, that he might have had, like, a strict guideline to you know, break dance fight. Jesus Christ. You know, I think he had
So it wasn't, like, a tell-all interview type deal?
Well, no, and it was it was kind of short, you know, it was under an hour long, and, you know, I just feel like she really didn't even want to talk about wrestling that much, honestly. So it talked quite a bit about, you know, the different things that she went into when she went into her latest venture, her backdoor adventure. But, it was a good listen. It's cool to see that she's doing podcasts. I'm going to actually hit them up. If we can get them on here, you'll hear some different questions out of us, whether we get cut off or not. But for sure, either way, I mean, check his show out. I mean, if we don't accomplish that same thing, she was, you know, the only woman that I know of to win the Intercontinental title.
Right.
She is someone other than her recent exploits who severely deserves the fucking Hall of Fame nod. Now,
right.
Honestly, I think after what she just did, I don't believe that she'll ever get that, but I think that's something that's worth being discussed. So we'll have to see. You know, whether it's people who, you know, are disgusted by nothing but disgust for her, or whether it's a topic that needs to be discussed. I think disgust is the key word for that. Juan said he watched that porno 4 times. Yep, there you go, Juan. He told us that on air last week, so that's...
Yeah, he did.
Kind of awkward.
Just awkward.
Yeah, most people don't watch it once. They know what she looks like. It's not really... just don't. But whatever.
Four,
you know, that's your business.
Four times is kind of ridiculous.
Kind of awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you wonder why we call you a slut, Juan. Shout out to them. Shout out to that. What other shout outs? Am I missing anybody? I don't think so. I don't think so. So, more or less, that's what we're going to leave it as. Our 4th of July party. Let me shout that out. Doing the 4th of July party. Any of our listeners, we only have so many. Hit me up. You want to swing by? You in the South Jersey area, Jersey Shore area, and you don't do none of that fist pumping baggage shit. Yeah, I swear to God, bring that shit in my yard, it'd be a problem. Come by, wild the fuck out. It goes for Eric, it goes for Juan's. Bitch ass that can't make it out of Jackson. You wanna come by, you're more than welcome. It's all good. I know my homegirl Jess will be there. Everything like that. So all that matters. And pretty much going to close it out on that. Check us out next week, Thursday, 9 o'clock. You will get my full review of the fucking Tournament of Death, and you will get one hyped up J-Cat, and that's what it is.
Or one really pissed off J-Cat.
Either way, got to be hyped. It will be Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Check us out, Blog Talk Radio, every Thursday. For Eric Williams, I'm J. Cat Morris. We'll check you motherfuckers out next week. Peace.